Our text for this morning is Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. I read for you again the last verse. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Dear Christian friends, you have probably heard the slogan, love is what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I have never had any idea what that's supposed to mean. But our text suggests that love is what makes a Christian a Christian and what makes a Lutheran school a Christian school. So let's talk about what that means. Paul here connects love to faith and hope. These three are commonly associated in the Bible. For example, listen to what the letter to the Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we confess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And Paul writes to the Galatians also, chapter 5, verse 5. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither is circumcision nor uncircumcision any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So, it is obvious that faith and hope are not unimportant. In fact, they are essential. It is only through faith in Jesus that we are saved and made spiritually alive so that we are able to love. What is it that makes you to be you? Well, obviously, you wouldn't be you if you didn't have a body. But also, you wouldn't be you if you didn't have a living spirit that was in you. The whole you is your body together with the spirit. Well, in chapter before this, Paul talks about how we are all part of the body of Christ. Not just separate individuals, each connected with God through faith, but connected to each other by our connection with Christ. And so maybe we could say love is what connects us to the other parts of the body. It's what makes us who we are together. This year's theme for National Lutheran Schools Week is Life Together in Christ. In these verses, Paul emphasizes how our life in Christ is life together. And so we see that life together must include showing love. We see that we are not yet all that we are meant to be, but that the love we need comes from Christ. Let's think first about how the life we have together must include showing love. Paul writes, I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, I don't think if you've ever read anything else that Paul wrote, that you can take this to mean that he is devaluing faith. Faith in God is what enabled Paul to do some amazing things. I also don't think he means to devalue the ability to speak. He himself depended on his God-given ability to speak in the languages of men and of angels. He is not devaluing understanding and wisdom and the prophetic ability to apply that to a specific situation. Nor do we devalue knowledge and understanding. It's because this is so important that we go to all the effort we do in order to have children in a Christian school. This takes great sacrifices. And I don't think Paul means to devalue the importance of these sacrifices. He himself gave up much and put his life at great risk for the sake of his ministry to others. So it is appropriate during Lutheran Schools Week that the children of our school showed knowledge on Monday in a quiz bowl. And they sang with angelic voices on Tuesday in assisted living homes. And they were built up in their faith on Wednesday in chapel. And Thursday they packed food to give away to the poor and the starving. And then at the end of the week, went out and had some fun together too. The connection which motivated and shined through all of these activities was love for Christ and so also for others. Picture it this way. If I want to go somewhere and I have a fancy sports car and a motorcycle and an SUV and an RV and an ATV, but don't have any gas, it's not going to do me any good. I have nothing. What motivates it all? What gives it the power to go? If I want to enjoy a nice summer day, and I have a nice boat, and I've got water skis, and even a jet ski, and some big tubes, and a pontoon boat, but there's no water, I have nothing. What's it all for? If I want a house, and I've got some 2x4s and some plywood sheets, and I've got plumbing and electrical fixtures and siding and windows and shingles, but I don't have any nails, I've got nothing. Because what's going to hold it all together? If I want to eat or to feed hungry people, and I have meat and potatoes and eggs and flour, but I don't have any heat to cook it with, I've got nothing. Because what's going to make it edible? Love, similarly, is essential in Christian life, especially Christian life together. It's at the heart of what we do and what we teach in our school, because love is what motivates us and makes us go. Love is the reason for what we do. Love is what connects everything together in our lives, and love is what makes it all worthwhile. Without love, we would just be showing off for our own benefit and wasting our time, which is all very easy for us to do. So, if love is so important to us, are we saying that we are the most loving? Well, certainly not, because we are not yet all that we are meant to be. Paul writes, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Because Christ has already died for us and been raised again, and we have already been baptized, buried with him in his death, and raised to new life as we continue to live every day in repentance, we are to live as if that last day has already come for us, fully reflecting Christ, knowing everything, but with his glorious love drowning out everything else and shining through us all in our church and in our school. Is this is what we're like? Not yet. Paul's point here is that spiritually we are still all little children. When we look in the mirror now, the reflection of Christ we see is still quite dim and clouded. Love is patient and kind. We are only kind of good. And so we need a lot of patience with each other. And we're too easily frustrated and crabby. Love does not envy what God gives others, and it doesn't boast in what we have, which is simply God's gift. Love is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, but it considers others. We, instead of looking at Christ and reflecting him to others, too easily look to ourselves and our own interests. And so we are jealous and we speak in rude and mean ways. Love is not irritable or resentful. It looks at everything in the kindest light. It does not snicker when bad things happen, but it celebrates what's true and is good. But we are too easily offended, too ready to blame others for our problems. Even when good shines on others, we imagine their shadow then falling on us. Love bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, this does not mean that love is blind and just carelessly goes along with everything, but that love does not give up. Because of Christ, it holds on to faith and hope no matter what. Our love, however, too easily goes to the wrong extremes. It too easily gives in, too easily smothers, too easily has hurt feelings, and so too easily becomes counterproductive. Like gas that instead of empowering explodes. Like water that instead of floating the boat gets in and sinks it. Like nails that instead of holding wood together splinter it. Like heat that instead of cooking the food burns it. Our love, like our knowledge, is still in part. That's why as God's children we are all still in school. This partial is only going to pass away when the perfect comes. And the perfect does come, and the perfect has already come in Christ. The love we need comes from Christ. Paul writes, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. It is not that our love saves us. It is Christ's love that saves us. This is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave himself up for us. Verses 4 to 7 here speak as if love were a person doing things. Who is that person? Well, it's not you or I, but it's Jesus. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. He is not arrogant or rude. Instead, he humbled himself, putting aside his rightful glory to take on our weakness and our shame. Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus is not irritable or resentful. He keeps on forgiving over and over again. And he keeps on lifting us up whenever we fall down. Jesus does not rejoice at wrong, but Jesus rejoices in the truth. When we suffer from what we do wrong, he does not gloat over us getting what we deserve, but instead he throws a party for us whenever we repent. Jesus is the one who can move mountains, as well as cast out demons and heal the sick, and remove the mountain of our sin that sits on top of us. Jesus is the one who gave up all he had for the sake of the poor, including his own body, out of love, and he did it. He did gain something from that, the redemption of the whole world. Jesus is the one with all wisdom and all knowledge, who knows us through and through and reveals to us our imperfections and God's perfect love and the perfect plan for our salvation in his word, the scriptures. Jesus is the one who knows all the languages of men and angels and has become the word made flesh in order to speak to our hearts about God's love and his truth for us. So, how do we share love? How do we teach love? How do we practice love in our lives and in our school? It is not just by saying, you should be more loving, or by saying, look at me and how loving I am, but by pointing to Jesus, who shows his face to us in Scripture. The more fully we see him and know him and his love, the more we're going to reflect that love to others. Life together must include showing love. Love is our motivation. It is our purpose. It's what binds us together in the body of Christ. But we are not yet all that we are meant to be. Even when we are grown up physically, we are still little children of God who need to keep putting behind us our childish ways that interfere with love. Our lives here are only a dim reflection of God's face, but we continue learning because the love we need comes from Christ, who gave up all in order to keep on giving to all his perfect love until finally that which is imperfect and partial passes away. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.